Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Fake News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And there's a different program every day on that network, so you might want to check some of those programs out. I'm sure you'll enjoy them. Also, we want to welcome our listeners from the United Kingdom. Hi, everybody. I took over 35 trips to the United Kingdom back in the 1990s, so I'm quite familiar with it. And also to our friends in South Africa. Hello, everybody. Also visited South Africa in the 1990s. And our listeners in Australia. We're getting a bigger listenership there, which is great because, you know, they have the church there. It escapes me at the moment. But anyway, the big church there that has all the music. I can't think of it at the moment, but it'll come to me. Anyway, also our listeners in Singapore. Hello, everybody in Singapore. Great to have you on board, our listeners in Canada and all across the world. Thank you for listening and for sharing the good news. And we hope that we can help you along the way as we're all trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? Hillsong Church, that's the name. Hillsong Church, the big mega church there and in Australia. So anyway, we're glad that we have quite a few listeners there, people that are trying to escape false teaching and we're just pleased that God has increased our broadcast and we have as many listeners as we do have. We're very grateful for that. So also we have our website, propheticnews.com, and our book, my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And we know that it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? This whole phony seed faith gospel. I saw Lindsay Roberts, I saw her the other day on Joni Lamb's show, and Lindsay, of course, she was just about in tears talking about how persecuted and lied about, and she was saying that she can't see where she was doing anything wrong. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Well, the thing is, Lindsay, what about your phony seed faith gospel, this gospel of extortion and the gospel of excess, the gospel that is not true? What about the fact that you and Richard have lived off of this false gospel? You still perpetuate it today, even after basically Richard lost everything. He lost his kingdom. And he lost Oral Roberts University and whatever else he had going over there in Tulsa. Oral Roberts was the biggest proponent of the phony seed faith gospel when it didn't work for your family. So despite the fact that you were persecuted or lied about, It would really be wonderful if you could take a look at the so-called ministry that you've had, you and your husband have had these many years, and to see the error that you've perpetuated and how many people have been hurt by the false gospel that you've preached. But I didn't see any repentance. I saw a lot of feeling sorry for yourself, and I didn't see any repentance. But I wonder if it'll ever come. It would be nice if you could apologize to the body of Christ and to all the people that have been scammed over the years and are still being scammed by your television program. Also, I saw a picture a few days ago of Mike Pence, and standing next to Mike Pence is the gospel huckster. Standing there also with Paula was Joni Lamb, gospel huckster. And God forbid, there's Rodney Howard Brown on the other side of Pence. Pence looked like he was scared. They were praying for him. And I think somebody might have even had their laid hands on him. But he looked scared. I would be scared, too, if I was Mike Pence and Rodney Howard Brown and Paula White were standing next to me and supposedly representing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, far from it. Far from it. Because Rodney Howard Brown, he's yet to repent of his wicked Holy Ghost bartender ministry or so-called ministry that he has, and he still has really, because he's got a church in Tampa and he's got a television program, so he's a very visible person. But also Paula White, yikes. I don't know, does Mike Pence ever watch television? Like, does anybody ever watch her television program? I turned it on yesterday, or the day before yesterday, one of the days this week anyway. But, and there she's got this prophet, Prempe, New Age psychic he is, who hangs around with Bernard Jordan, another New Age psychic. And this is the person that Paula White calls a prophet, and she has this guy at her church, and she has him on her television program, and they're telling people that to send in a $77 seed, I think it was, for a prayer cloth. And it was pitiful. Like, Mike Pence, you're the vice president of the United States, and there you are standing next to this woman. And you have this woman's there representing supposedly spiritual things to you and the president. And you don't think that that's odd that she has an international television program where she tells people to send in $77 to get a prayer cloth, and the prayer cloth is supposed to help you get healed, and it's supposed to get your children delivered from drugs, and there were so many things that this prayer cloth was going to do for you. And you don't think that's odd? I don't know. They better get another spiritual advisor over there, because it's like having Miss Cleo. It's like having Miss Cleo over there, or Gene Dixon. It's like having Gene Dixon over there. So it's a pitiful state of affairs, and we need to pray for this man, and to pray for the president of the United States. That remember what happened to Ahab because of Jezebel. So it's not a good situation when you have somebody giving you advice that doesn't know God for themselves. How are they going to tell you about God? Because Paula and Rodney's got some kind of a weird Jesus that makes you fall down on the ground and act like an idiot, and people crawling on all fours, and people writhing like snakes, and people, men and women, falling on top of each other, and they call that church. And then you have Paula over there. So they need to get a new spiritual advisor, because if you get the wrong, especially if you get the wrong spiritual advice, that could be very, very dangerous. That could be very, very dangerous. So we're going to talk a little bit today about her husband, Paula White's husband, Jonathan Cain Friga. His last name is really Friga, because Cain is a stage name, because he's in the rock and roll band Journey. And he has a book coming out, an autobiography, which probably he probably didn't write most of it, because he probably had a ghostwriter, or he had some, I think he has somebody that helped him write the book. And anyway, I'm wondering about this man, because here's a man that's, I think he's at least 67. I think he's about 67 years old. And he's a self-made man. He's been in this band, I think, since 1979. And really was in the band Journey in those early years there, when they were at their height. And of course, they had the singer, Steve Perry, who really is a very, very good singer. And Neil Sean, who is a very good, also a very good guitar player. And so they were on top of the world, really. And then I think Steve Perry left the band, and then he had some kind of a hip injury. And so then they stopped touring, but they managed to resurrect themselves a few times. And they go on tour. Now they go on tour every year for the past few years. And he goes on tour, and Paula tags along with him, because, you know, she can't trust him. You know, he's a rock and roller. And so she goes with him, because she's got to be there. But anyway, this man is a self-made man. He made his money. Honestly, he didn't sell prayer cloths. He wasn't selling blessings. He wasn't selling prosperity. No, he was singing. He's not a good singer. Forget it. He's a terrible singer. Don't sing, John, please. You can't sing. You might as well face it. You can play the guitar. You can play the piano, but singing? No. Oh, horrible singer. And, he sings, when he sings with Journey, they don't let him sing solos, because he can't sing. But he sings in the background. That's okay. His voice blends in with everybody else's. So that's why they had Steve Perry singing. He can sing. But anyway, John's a self-made man. He's made millions of dollars. They've sold, millions upon millions of, when they had records, and they had albums, and they had cassette tapes, and then they had CDs, and now I don't know exactly what they have, downloads or whatever. But he made his own money, and he didn't scam people. So then he runs into Paula, and he marries Paula, and I think they got married in 2015. Supposedly they met in 2011. I think John was still married when he met her. And he said that he didn't know who she was. Well, it wouldn't have been hard to find out, because there's plenty of videos. There's plenty of videos out there about Paula White and her scamming. I'm surprised he didn't really check her out. But anyway, he marries this woman, and I actually saw him one Sunday sitting there on the platform, and I'm going to play the audio, because it's getting serious over there, this kind of Kool-Aid drinking that they're doing, especially Jonathan Cain. He seems to be under some kind of spell, because he's actually allowing Paula to call him father, the father of the church. He's now becoming the father. And now they're even calling him Pastor John. Pastor John. Yeah, Pastor John. I don't know if the guy's saved, to tell you the truth. I really, and you know, Paul is not saved, so I know that for sure. Because anybody, I don't care how much she talks about Jesus, she can talk about Jesus till the hair falls out. But she doesn't know, because if you want to know if somebody really knows Jesus, they're not going to sell you a seed faith blessing. No, they're not going to do that. And, okay, I can say some people that know Jesus still teach tithing because they never really did research to find out the truth about tithing. When the New Testament teaches love giving. It's called love giving. We give out of love because we want to help people. That's what we do as New Testament believers. We're not, God doesn't beat us over the head to give a certain amount to a church, which of course we know churches need money. Yes, we know that. We know families need money. We know. We work on a monetary system here and we're capitalists. So we know that. And but people that teach this seed faith scamming stuff, no, they don't know Jesus, because Jesus never, you can study from Matthew to Revelation and never one time, not one time, did Jesus ever tell anybody, give me $5 because I have to see your faith. Now, I have to see your faith, so give me $5. And when you give me $5, then I will look upon you with favor and I will see your obedience and then I will do something for you. There's no recorded incident of Jesus ever doing that. So if Jesus never did that in the New Testament, then it isn't true. I don't care what Paula White says, or Oral Roberts, or Richard Roberts, or Mike Murdoch, or Todd Kuntz, who's going to be on trial next week. We're going to talk about that. I don't care what they say, because we base our faith, we base what we believe on the New Testament, on the New Testament Jesus, not on the Jesus that they present to you, because that's another Jesus. I don't know that Jesus. No, I don't know him. I had a mother and a father, and whenever I needed anything at any time in my life, most of the time I didn't even have to tell them what I needed. They might have known that I needed something, and they offered it to me. And they didn't say, Susan, give me $5 first, because you have to sow a seed and you have to show me your faith. My mother and father never did that. And they did things for me out of love, because they loved me. I was their child. So it's the same way with God. He loves you. You don't have to hand him anything, because what are you going to give him? He owns everything. What are you going to give God? What? Your furniture, your car, your bank account? He doesn't need it. No, he doesn't need it. No. Paula needs it. Yeah, Paula needs it. Mike Murdoch needs it. They need it. They don't tell you that it's really going into their pocket and for them to do whatever they want with it. Well, there's nothing wrong with taking up an offering. If that's where you're at with your faith and you need to take up an offering for your ministry, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with taking up an offering, as long as you tell people it's going to you. Because when you tell people it's going to God, that's not true, because God doesn't need any money. We need the money. And so if you're honest with people, there's nothing wrong with taking up an offering. But taking up an offering and lying to people and extorting people and that kind of thing, that's wrong. And that's basically what Paula White does. So here's this man, Jonathan Cain. And Paul has now got him believing that he's a pastor. And he's got him believing that he's the father of the church and she's the mother. And this is very dangerous, because that's basically how cults get started. People start believing that they're your mother, they're your father, they have all the answers for you, they can give you spiritual guidance. Look, this man, Jonathan Cain, I think it was in 2015 or 2016 when he, right from the pulpit there at New Destiny Christian Center, on a Sunday morning with children in the room, in the clubhouse or whatever you call that place over there, the nightclub, he actually told the women of the church to watch porn with their husbands. So what is Jonathan Cain going to be there over there at that church? What's now he's the pastor after less than 2 or 3 years ago, he was telling people to watch porn. Now, I've heard a lot of things in churches. I've been in churches since 1981, in and out of churches, hundreds of churches. I never in my life ever did I ever hear a pastor, now Paula was there, she calls herself the pastor of the church there, and her husband, and they're teaching a class on relationships for married people and telling people to watch porn. And Paula says, well, we're not telling you to get addicted to porn, but to educate yourself. Who educates themselves on married life by watching porn? If you want to, I tell you one thing, that if you watch porn and you're married, it's going to destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your life. That's what it will do. You will not educate yourself. And to have somebody say that publicly, that's shocking. But now, here we are in 2018, and Paula has this man believing that he's now the father of the church, and she's the mother, and he's a pastor. He's a pastor. John's the pastor. So it'll be very, very interesting. But I think it's kind of a sign of the times, where when you look at the state of the church, or the so-called church, let's say, the television church, the the people that have the biggest ministries, or so-called ministries anyway, when you look at the state of things, how far we've come away from holiness, modesty, all the things that you don't see too much anymore. People probably, they would probably mock you if you talk about holiness in some of these places, or you talk about modesty, and they might think, well, wow, I mean, this is year 2018, so. But it's a sign of the times that almost anything goes now in most of the pulpits of America. People can't really follow along. They don't really bring their Bibles to church anymore. Even the pastor is reading from a computer, and not, they don't hold a Bible. You don't see a Bible. Everybody's dressed down. People don't dress up anymore when they go to church. The worship team, forget it. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. It's like a nightclub. Nobody, they call it a worship service, but it doesn't seem like anybody's worshiping anything except they're singing and dancing and whatever, but worship. And then there's the obvious offering, which they don't teach people about love. And so we have a church today of selfish people for the most part. And it's very, very sad. Very, very sad what's being done. But Jesus said it would happen that way, didn't he? He said the love of many would wax cold, and that even the very elect could be deceived, which we're seeing, that people don't really take a stand for anything. Some people do, yes. Some people do, and thank God for those people. But because people want to be connected with someone like the President of the United States, they won't take a stand for truth. They won't take a stand against heretics and heresy. And because they want political power, they want to be seen by men. And so, but who cares? Who's more important? Is to be seen by God and for God to see your heart? And we know, all of us know that we're flawed. Yes, we are. We're flawed. And we're all trying to work it out, aren't we? But God knows our heart. And so we're not out there trying to extort money from people or lying to people about God. That's what we want to see in the days ahead, is more people speaking out, taking a stand for what's right. It would be wonderful if somebody could go to this trial. If you live in North Carolina, let me pull up this document I have here, and I can tell you. So if you live in, let's see, it's going to be Monday, April 2nd, the trial of William Todd Koontz, and it's the United States District Court, Western District of North Carolina, the Charlotte Division, and it'll be on the docket April 2nd, 2018, and it says that the trial will be 2 days. And if anybody can go to that trial and take some video or act as a journalist and do some reporting, take some pictures, that would be terrific. Email me, susan@propheticnews.com. susan@propheticnews.com, if you can go and report on the scene. That's in Charlotte, North Carolina. It says Defendant Koontz is charged with 3 counts of failure to pay taxes, filing his own false tax returns, and the facts of the trial will show that Defendant William Todd Koontz lived in Charlotte from 2010 to 2014 and was the minister of Rock Wealth International Ministries. And it says he appeared on television, he sold products. So now, you know, I'm wondering now, Todd Koontz was a big promoter of sowing seeds of money for favor. And I guess Todd, it didn't work. So it didn't work for you, because certainly the position you're in right now, you certainly don't have favor. This is not going to end well. I can tell you right now, it's not going to end well at all. I hope Todd Koontz will repent. I think it would be wonderful if he could take this opportunity to repent to the body of Christ, because it's scary now. If you've led the kind of life Todd did, he didn't get his money by telling people the truth about Jesus. He was scamming people. He was one of the big time promoters of the seed faith gospel, and all those friends that you had, Todd, the Cirillos and Mike Murdoch and Benny Hinn, they're not going to want anything to do with you now. It's like they don't want to be around you. So you're going to find out who your friends were for sure. But this is not going to be anything that anybody would want to look forward to. A trial, a jury trial yet? Yeah, he's having a jury trial. Say, I'm telling you, those jurors are not going to like him. I would say people, for the most part, do not like religious scam artists. They don't like it. And especially that's kind of the Bible Belt over there. And I think there's probably some great people there in that area that really love God. And even people that don't love God don't like religious scam artists. They don't like people using the gospel or using the Bible or the name of Jesus to scam people. They just don't like it. So they're not going to like this guy. He's going to have how many, if there's six jurors or 12 jurors or whatever, he's going to have six or 12 strikes against him to begin with. They're not going to like him. And he's not a very likable person anyway. But I wouldn't want to be Todd. But this is the thing. And it's like the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out, and every hidden work of darkness will be made known. So you can't play around with God, because we have, the gospel is a serious thing. The preaching of the gospel. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. So either we believe that Jesus is real and he ascended into heaven when he died and he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven in a body. So he's alive. He lives up in heaven. And he's coming back again. And we believe as Christians that when we're born again and we repented of our sins, that God forgives our sins, and that we know that we can go to heaven. We know we're going to heaven. We know we're saved. And we've been saved from hell. Hell is real too. It's a real place. People do go there. And it's serious when you're talking about someone's eternal destiny. And you take that and you handle the word of God deceitfully and you deceive people. And for what? For greed. But this kind of thing, greed and lust, it's never satisfied. And so once you fall into that trap, it doesn't end well. It might be fun for a time, because the Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. So there's probably a time where these people enjoy their wealth, they enjoy their airplanes, they enjoy their cars and their homes and their fancy suits. But what good is it going to do you when you have to stand, you're having a jury trial for basically for fraud? No, why? It's not worth it. No, it's not worth it. It's like, wasn't it David that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to basically sell my integrity? Isn't it better to have a job and earn an honest living, and you can sleep at night and you don't have to worry about having a jury trial and wearing orange and being locked in a cage? Because basically when you're in a prison cell, you're locked in a cage. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just to have enough to keep a roof over your head and your house is warm and maybe it's cool in the summer and you have food in your refrigerator and maybe you have a car to drive, which is nice, and you can put gas in your car. And you can pay your electric bill and whatever else you have to pay. And isn't it nice just to have enough? And if God wants to give you more, fine. But to use the gospel to enrich yourself and to do it dishonestly and then to have to pay such a heavy price, oh, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. And you think maybe Todd Koontz would listen to this program today. Todd, repent. Repent. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court there, because they are not going to like you. And it could be bad. It could be bad for you, like it was for Jim Baker when they brought him up on the fraud charges back in the 1980s. They gave him 40 years. Of course, he never served 40 years, but he was in a federal penitentiary with murderers and rapists, and he was in there with bad people. And Todd you know some bad people, but I don't know if you know these kind of bad people. But, I mean, the people that you associate with are pretty bad as far as deceiving people and using Jesus to do it. That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad, I have to say. But throw yourself on the mercy of God and throw yourself on the mercy of the court there. Because the judge isn't going to like you either. No, the judge is not going to like you. And it could be bad. Yeah, it could be very, very bad. So if you ever need a friend, you've got some people out there that'll tell you the truth. You've got some people out there that will tell you the truth. That the way you presented yourself and the way you presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an abomination. It was an abomination to his death, his burial and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. It was an abomination. It was an abomination to all the Christians that have been persecuted throughout the centuries, who died martyrs' deaths like the 11 apostles did, who took a stand for their faith. It was an abomination. And if I were you, Todd, I would spend some time self-examination and examining myself, because, yeah, God can get you out of it in a way. I think he's going to smack you down a little bit and teach you a lesson. Hopefully you will repent and give your life to Jesus and preach the real gospel. Preach the real gospel. So I hope you're going to get a little bit of mercy. I don't think you're going to get much, though. I don't think you're going to get much. And it won't be long for us to know what's going to happen here, because it's only going to be a two-day trial. So we should know something. I don't know if he's found guilty. I don't know how soon they'll pass the sentencing on him. And anyway, let's listen. I'm going to play some of these audios from Todd Koontz, so you can hear. Some of you that aren't familiar with him, maybe you haven't seen him, or you have seen him. But anyway, we'll play a little bit here of some of his teachings. And anyway, here's Todd Koontz on the favor seed. Todd, it didn't work.
I can be made whole. Joshua in chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Joshua needed more time. He commanded the sun to sit still, and it happened. It sat still. Your words are sculpturing your world. Three harvests. Listen carefully. Doesn't take God long to do something big. Number one, the resurrection of every dormant seed you planted in the previous 12 months. Number two, hallelujah. There's an anointing so strong right now. Number two is going to work powerfully in your life. You will not just be restored, you will be more than restored. What Satan has stolen, he has to give back. Number three, I'm going to pray the triple favor anointing on your life.
Now, no, you didn't get it. No, you didn't get it.
I've been talking this year about a very unusual seed. A $300 missions and evangelism seed. God's a God of numbers. The number three is powerful. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're a triune being. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The number three is a powerful number. And until this year, I had never talked about a $300 seed. But there are 1,000 partners and friends of this ministry. This $300 seed is going to be the most powerful seed I believe you will sow this year. And when you sow it, you will sow it specifically for these three harvests. You know the anointing of God. You know the voice of God. You know his heart. The purpose of prosperity is for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I want you all to stand. Honestly, all of you stand here in this, in the studio. And you in your homes. Todd, let's agree right now for favor. Because I'm telling you, when he prays, favor happens. So all of you lift your hands, pray in the Holy Ghost out loud. Come on, out loud. I want you to pray as you release that favor right now.
There at your home, I want you to release and stretch your forth, your hand forth at the TV because you're getting ready to enter a season of supernatural favor. I come into a covenant with you according to the authority of the Word of God.
Amen.
I come into a covenant with you as you plant this $300 seed into the work of God for the purpose of missions and evangelism, to send the gospel throughout the world so somebody is going to get saved.
Amen.
Your seed will become a powerful catalyst. And I decree, when you do what's on God's heart, God will do what's on your heart. And I decree now favor to happen in your life, in Jesus' name, in every area of your life, in real estate, in business. And I pray a financial Boaz will be connected with your life, even in the next 90 days, who will favor you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the person who has sown seed and has not seen the harvest. This seed today of 300 will be the catalyst to resurrect every dormant seed. And Father, we're not buying miracles, but according to your word,
amen,
we can sow a seed with expectation. We can believe you to reap a harvest. So our seed is an expression of our believing your word. And I decree it now in Jesus' name. Now, there's a number that's on the screen. If you have not called yet, I want you to call the number right now. Do not delay. Do not set this aside. I don't know when God's going to give you this kind of faith. Faith is surging inside of you right now. Call the number and say, I'm one of the 1,000. I'm going to plant. And say this. I'm planting my $300 missions and evangelism seed to help Pastor Benny take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
And God is opening amazing new doors for me that some of them have not opened before. And now we're planning and preparing a mighty crusade again in India in January. God is really opening massive doors. So, precious saints, the gospel will be preached. You know,
I can be made whole.
What gospel are you talking about? That's not the gospel. God forbid. Please, we don't need any more of that kind of gospel. It didn't work for Todd Koontz. It didn't work for him. He didn't get any favor. No, he's going to be standing before a district court judge going on trial against the government on Monday. A jury trial. No, no, Todd. It didn't work for Todd. He didn't get any favor. No, he got disfavor from God. He got judgment from God. Well, you know, God lets these people get away with this for a time because God is merciful. He's so merciful. And he gives people space to repent. And I'm sure he's given every opportunity for Todd Koontz to repent. And he didn't. He didn't repent. God would have covered him. God would have covered him, and he wouldn't wind up like he's going to wind up on Monday. I wouldn't want to be him. For all the money in the world, I wouldn't want to be him. Hopefully this will be a wake-up call to him. Don't mess around with God. Don't mess around with his people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a big price to pay for people. How many people do you know that are willing to lay down their life for somebody else? Not too many. Not too many. I wouldn't want to be him. Anyway, it didn't work for Todd. And if it didn't work for Todd, it's not going to work for you. Let's listen to more of Todd Koontz.
To rapidly get out of debt if you find yourself on the treadmill of of the vicious cycle of paying interest instead of earning interest, you're going to learn some good, solid financial principles. But what I wanted you to understand is that God set me aside for a period of time, because I used to be in the financial planning business for nearly 20 years, and he began to train me in the laws of money according to the world standards. And about a decade ago, God told me, he said, now that I have trained you about the principles and the laws of money, I want you to go back into the body of Christ, and I want you to teach my people how to qualify, receive, and manage wealth. Did you know that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? You know, I can come to your church. I'm going to stand up for just a second. I could come to your church if you're a pastor and you're watching. And by the way, there's going to be a number that's on the screen. And I don't know if they put the number up yet. But if you have a financial question, I'm not going to be able to get to a lot of them tonight. But if you have a financial question that you want me to answer tonight, you can call the number in a moment that they're going to put on the screen. And you can, you know, answer, make it a succinct question, a concise question. And the number is 855-730-WORD, 855-730-WORD. And you can call even right now if you have a financial question. They're going to bring it to me, and I'm going to try to answer it. But in the coming weeks, I'm going to answer these questions and help you understand the laws and the rules of money, not just from the world standpoint, but also biblical economics, biblical economics. But here's my point. If I were to come to your church, and if you're a pastor and you're a Christian, you're born again, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you love Jesus, and you want to serve him with all of your heart. If I were to come to your church and I would ask for a show of hands, how many of you want to become a millionaire? You know what? I'd have about 100% participation. People would raise their hand. Yes, yes, Dr. Coons, I want to be a millionaire. Yes, I want to be blessed. But the sad thing is that it's going to take your knowledge and your information and your financial literacy in order not just to create wealth, but to maintain wealth.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Todd. I don't think you're going to be able to maintain the wealth you had at this point. And you're not going to be getting any invitations either. No, I'm sure pastors have stopped calling you. I'm sure pastors have stopped calling you a long time ago. Things are really going to change for you now. They're really going to change. And notice he calls himself Dr. Coons. Doctor of what? 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 What kind of doctor are you? I don't know. Dr. Strangelove. That's what it sounds like. Strange. Strange. Strange kind of love, this kind of scamming that you've done. No, doctor, oh, please stop. Anyway, I'm just going to play one more clip here of Todd. And like I said, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area and you have nothing to do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, go down to the courthouse there and report on the trial. I would love to hear your observations, and if somebody could take some video. I would love to see the look on Todd's face as he's going into the courtroom. I would love to see the look on his face, really. But nobody wants to be in this position. Nobody wants to be in this position, but God is not mocked. Now, here's the truth about seed sowing. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's what you're going to reap. That's a promise. That's a promise. So it's a sad day for the Kuntz family.
You're going to trust somebody. When will you trust God? You're going to believe somebody. When are you going to believe a man of God? And I'm going to say to you, as a man of God, as a man of God, anointed of God, the anointing is surging through me right now. I don't care what the doctors have told you, you can be healed. I don't care what's happening in your business, God can turn that around. It doesn't matter where your financial status is right now. We're serving a God with an endless supply of financial blessing.
Amen.
If you will obey his word and do what he said to do.
Amen.
One step of faith can change your life in 24 hours. It doesn't take God long to do something big. In moments, the dynamic of the atmosphere can change. Why? Because faith inspires expectation. And expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Miracles are going to happen all over the world in just a second. Number 7, practice God's divine laws. Number 8, make God your financial partner. Number 7, practice God's divine laws. Number 8, make God your financial partner.
Talk about 7 just quick.
I am going to talk about 7. The greatest principle on the earth that changed my life is the principle of seed time harvest. Genesis 8 and verse 22, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time harvest. Everything in your life is a seed. Time is a seed. Thoughts are seeds. Words are seeds. This smile is a seed. It's never an option, are you going to sow? Because everybody sows. The world sows. Every human sows. You'll never get out of sowing. Your option is what you will sow, where you will sow, and how much you will sow. Genesis 8:22 changed my life when I discovered the principle that something I possess can create anything I've been promised. When I let go of what's in my hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. When I let go of something I wanted to keep, God will let go of something he wanted to give. Why does my financial seed move the hand of God? Because of number 8. I'm making God my financial partner. I am in covenant with a Jehovah Jireh. He is my total source of supply. My focus is on him and on what he has said in his word. I want to pray over your life. I want to pray over your life right now. I feel with all my heart, I'm so stirred to pray over 1,189 who are watching right now all over the world. 1,189 chapters in the Word of God. And here's the instruction that God has given you. Remember number 2? You have to obey God's instructions. Here's the instruction. I'm going to ask you to plant a $200 double portion seed based on Job 42 and verse 10. Satan took everything from Job. God returned it double for his trouble. That's one of the harvests I'm going to pray over your life through this seed. Number 2, I'm going to ask God to favor you with a financial Boaz. You don't need everybody liking you, just the right person liking you. And there's going to be a financial Boaz that's going to come in your life that's going to favor you. And number 3, through this $200 seed, I'm going to ask God to resurrect every dormant seed that you've sown in the previous 12 months. Father, I have said what you've told
yes,
me to
Lord.
Say. And Lord, you have called me, you have anointed me as a financial teacher and as a financial deliverer. And there's an anointing flowing right now on the set. Father, as I am speaking to the global audience around the world, as I come into your home right now, I come into a covenant with you. As you set aside and sanctify this covenant seed of $200 as a sign of your obedience to an instruction spoken from a man of God, as you wrap your faith around this $200 seed, I decree that a financial Boaz will enter your life.
Todd. You're not a man of God, Todd. You're not a man of God because men of God don't do that. They don't do that. I never had to hand my parents anything to get them to do things for me. I didn't have to give them any kind of bribes. We don't have to do that to God either. All we have to do is ask. That's what the Bible says. Ask and you shall receive. That's what the Bible says. And whenever anybody ever needed anything from Jesus, did anybody ever go up to Jesus ever with money in their hand and say, Jesus, here's some money. Can you do something for me? No. No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So why do people want to believe that? It baffles me. It really does. Why do people want to believe that they have to pay God off and show him some kind of faith? And the way he says it is, when you let go of what's in your hand, God lets go of what's in his hand. Well, he doesn't have any money in heaven. There's no money up there. So what is he? God's holding on to money and then he drops it out of the sky? I don't think so. The way we get money, usually the way we get money in this life anyway, is that you work and you get money that way, or you're gifted. Somebody would gift you with money. Those are the kind of ways you get money. It doesn't fall out of the sky. Most people that have accumulated wealth, most wealthy people, somebody had to work for it, whether or not they're a trust fund baby or whatever. Somebody down the road had to earn the money. And some people are just better at figuring out how to make money than other people are. And that's the way it is. But somebody had to work for it. So it didn't fall out of the sky. And anyway, it's not going to be very pleasant for Todd when Monday rolls around. I'm sure he's going to have a very hard time sleeping. I would say he's probably going to do some jail time. I would say he probably is. And also, you know, Benny Hinn has basically the same kind of investigation going on. His offices were raided, I think, a year or so ago. And so I imagine that Benny Hinn will probably be on trial in the near future. And I expect probably Benny will probably do some time also. I expect probably. It's just not worth it, you know. Just not worth it. Just serve God. Look, we serve God in the beauty of holiness. We serve God with the simplicity of the gospel. I don't see a good end to this for either of these two men, really. I don't see a good end, except if they repent, and especially repent to the body of Christ for their false teaching and for their scamming and this kind of thing. Yeah, I would like to see that. Whether it ever happens, who knows? You know, a prison cell can be a place of reflection. It could be a place where you could change and change for the better. Of course, we know some people that went to prison, like W.B. Grant, Jim Baker, Leroy Jenkins. Some of these people, they went to prison and when they came out, they didn't turn out any better than when they went in, really. Because now you have Jim Baker promoting every kind of false prophet there is. And W.B. Grant went right back to scamming people. So did Leroy Jenkins. So sometimes prison is not a teacher. But, you know, sometimes it is. And we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. I'll probably have an update for you next week on the Todd Koontz trial, because I expect there will be a decision on this trial, since it's only going to be a 2-day trial. And we'll see. I expect the jury will probably come back quickly with a quick decision. And I think Todd will probably do some time. I think he will. Anyway, let's talk about Jonathan Cain. Let's finish up here with Jonathan Cain, the husband of Paula White Cain. And they're kind of an odd couple, really, but kind of an odd couple. Because it still does amaze me that this man, Jonathan Cain, a self-made man, a self-made millionaire, he made his money in the music industry, and he probably had some other businesses on the side. He's a self-made man. He didn't have to con anybody to get his money like Paula did. And it amazes me that he can sit there with a straight face and allow Paula to manipulate him the way she does, and to allow him to manipulate him to the point where he now believes that he's the father, or going to be the father of the church there, along with Mother Paula, and also that he is now a pastor. No, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but I expect one day he'll probably wake up out of his stupor and realize what he got himself into. Because it's hard to believe that he could sit there with a straight face, this man, who's a businessman, really, he's a businessman, and that he could actually sit there with a straight face while grown men in Paula's church call her mother. Grown men do that, and he sits there and he listens to that, and then he sits there and he watches his wife week after week manipulate people and tell people that they have to give money over there, otherwise God, you know, they're disobeying God, and God, you know, God, when they disobey God, there's consequences. And he watches her tell people that there's a Passover offerings, and there's Jubilee offerings, and there's favor offerings, and there you can give offerings to have babies. He sits there and he listens to that. And you would think that this man, that's a man of the world, really, and that he would say to himself, well, this isn't right. You know, I'm married to this woman, but I need to set this woman straight, because I don't like what I'm seeing over here. But no, he doesn't do that. He sits there and he believes it. And even now, he goes up when Paula's preaching, and while she's preaching, he sits there on the piano and he plays this weird music and weird. And he'll sit there for like 45 minutes or an hour, however long she talks. You know, she's the human typewriter. And but she doesn't ever say anything that makes any sense. She talks in circles, really. And so playing the piano, he's actually now playing the piano in the background. And like I said, this weird kind of music, it's very distracting. And so he's pretty well been pretty well hypnotized, I would say. He's in. He's buying the lie. Let's put it that way. He's buying the lie that he's the father, and he's a pastor, and he's a singer, which he's not a singer, no. And he's going to have this book about his life, and he's married to this woman that's supposed to be a Christian, but she's not a Christian, because I don't think John is saved. No, I don't think he's really saved. No, I don't. I don't see how anybody can be. When you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts you. And so you're supposed to have a little bit of conviction. Even though some of us have missed it, where doctrine is concerned at times, I'm sure that some of us have. I know I have. So, but when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit and he convicts you. So you can be off with your doctrine for a period of time, but then all of a sudden that Holy Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth is telling you the truth. And so then you come out of it. You realize, well, I was wrong about that. But if you claim, like Paula, that you've been saved for 30 something years and you're still representing Jesus the way you represent him, then no, you're not saved. And for John to believe it, for him to sit there and to drink this Kool-Aid that he's drinking now, it's very hard to believe. But anyway, let me play a few of these audios for you that you'll hear yourself where Paul is calling John Father.
I just speak it in Jesus' name. Get free. Renovate it. See God do good things. And John wanted to say thank you so much for the celebration last week at his birthday. It meant the world to him. I mean, I'm telling you, it feels so good to have a father in the house, doesn't it? I mean, he covers me. He takes care of your pastor. Spiritually serves me communion, prays over me every day, studies. What a blessed house we are. And also pray for him this week as his book gets released with Zondervan in May. When they go on tour with Journey, they'll play before almost 4 million people this year, 3 to 4 million people. And his book's coming out. Well, he goes in the studio Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So be in prayer because he's got to do his audio book. And we're just going to believe there's going to be an anointing on him. He'll be strong when he speaks. It's because it all points. Don't stop believing, but it all points to his faith and his walk. It points to Jesus Christ. Well, you ready for the word? Jump up on your feet.
No, it doesn't point to Jesus Christ. No, no. That's another Jesus that you're talking about. That's another Jesus that you're talking about. 2 Peter 2:3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Galatians 1:8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, that's a pretty strong word right there. And the gospel that Paula White is preaching is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jonathan Cain was really supposedly covering his wife, he would tell her the truth. He would get that Bible out and read it and say, look, Paula, what you're teaching here is not right, Paula. It's not right. I think both of us, the two of us, should probably take some time off from the so-called ministry and read the Bible and really read it and find out what it says. And then after we know what it says, then we can come back and we can tell people what it says. But if you yourself don't know God and you yourself don't know what the Bible says, you don't have any business teaching the Bible. You don't have any business teaching it. You need to sit down or go away. Just retire. Retire. Here's a clip, Pastor John.
I think all week long about what's gone on, we served almost 300 families over 16,000 pounds of food this week with our mobile food drop. Just so thankful for our outreach, for everyone that makes such a difference. It's good to have my husband, my good-looking, sexy baby back in town. I mean, I'm so happy. We love to be on tour, but we're glad you're home. Amen? So will you let, I always want to call him Pastor John and prophesying. Let Mr. John know that we're excited that he's back home and everything else. We love you. He makes me a happy, happy woman. And what else? It's Mr. Greg's birthday, so when you see him.
Yeah, I guess if he was making her a happy woman, he'd tell her the truth, wouldn't he? Telling the truth. And like, what pastor stands in a pulpit on a Sunday morning and says, oh, my sexy baby? Okay, sure. I don't know. You know, crazy. That's some kind of crazy church over there.
Because it matters, Pastor John, where you bring your tithe. Because God.
Yeah. That's Dougie. The Dougie. And he's the associate there over there at Paula's place. And you notice that Now, see, that clip I played before that one, that was Paula. She was prophesying that John was going to be the pastor. But now, actually, they're calling him Pastor
John. Because it matters,
John.
Pastor John, where you bring your tithe. Because God...
They kind of eased it in, okay? Because, you see, Paula, she started prophesying that he was going to be a pastor. And now... He went from being Minister John. First he was Minister John, and now he's Pastor John. Pastor John, yes, okay. Well, that'll be interesting to see how this all pans out, won't it? It's going to be interesting to see. But anyway, yeah, you hear, let's listen to Jim Jones, because remember Jim Jones, the cult leader? Jim Jones, he liked people to call him Father. Yeah, he liked that too.
Every time you look over that school, praying over it, just prophesying, speaking over it, amen, we're going to buy that this year. I just speak it in Jesus' name. Debt free.
Anyway, that was the wrong. Here it is.
That you cannot say. Because if you go by the fruit of what it means, 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry, that's not love. Make people a certain color and then to suffer all their days long just because they've got beautiful black skin, to work for half the pay in this state of California, to pay twice the rent, to be cheated every time they move, to walk in a department store and have everybody waited on before you get waited on. No, that's not love. Whoever made you did not love you. I did not make you, but by damn, I will save you. Now you get that in your little smoke pipe. You get it in your cut and you chew it. Savior I am, a redeemer I am, a deliverer I am, a father I am. I can save you when you're in jail, just like I brought that man out of the jail just a few moments. And I can promise, I can make prophecies and keep them, just like I prophesied life to her son and he lived. Just like I promised doctor here, Reverend at 92, that he would not go back to jail, and I paid my money and got him out. Just like when his leg was broke the same day, I healed it. He didn't have to have a splint, he didn't have to have a cast, I healed it before they had the time to set it. I came to him and healed him. Oh, yes, I can heal you. Oh, yes, I can raise you from the dead. Oh, yes, I can open your blinded eyes. Oh, yes, I can get you out of prison. Oh, yes, I'll give you a home. Oh, yes, I'll take you in when you're lonely. Oh, yes, I'll make a heaven out of your hell. But I'm in a war against your buzzard God. I'm at war with your buzzard God. I've come here to defeat your buzzard God. No preacher in America that loves you so much that when we need money...
That's what happens when you start believing that you're a father to people. That's what happens. We have a father, and that's our Father God. We have earthly fathers, but we don't need people standing up in churches and claiming that they're the pastor, claiming that they're your father, and then the pastor's wife or in Paula's case, she's the supposedly senior pastor over there, claiming that she's the mother. No. No. That's a dangerous thing. It's very, very dangerous for people to start believing that. But this is some of the things that Paula and John do here. And this is the guy that she wants you to believe is the father of the church.
We bought up 100 and almost, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 acres around here. And God said, from this, and this will be a studio here one day, because the sanctuary will be across the street, and we're building a hospital and a mental health care center and everything else. And from here, we'll send missionaries all to the world. God said, raise up training in university and school. Now, how many of you were here on Sunday? I'm about to put Pastor Pushy up. How many of you were here on Sunday? Okay. Sandra, was I on fire for God? Was I just like one of those pounding words? There was like I would even apologize. I'm like, Elder Harold, come tell me that what I did was okay. He said, don't ever apologize. And I was so full of fire, God, because the enemy had come with such a threat. And if you guys remember, I said that John and I had to follow a prophetic instruction. Well, I wasn't going to tell what that prophetic instruction, but your mind's about to be blown, Pastor Edward. The prophetic instruction, well, and we added this, was we put our feet in oil. Remember, I told you that, okay? And remember, I told you how I put oil and I put salt. Remember, and I was preserving. And I said, I prayed crazy prayers, and I never talk about this publicly. And I said, God, you have need of me. Remember, I reminded him of his covenant. And I told him why. Because I said every spiritual assassin, and then there was natural things that we found out. Every assassin, spiritually and naturally, that's after my life or after anything, I was breaking it and overturning it in the spirit. Are you with me? And I said there was a spiritual instruction I had to follow. I said, but I can't even tell you because you'd think it's too crazy. Remember that? Okay, well, the spiritual instruction was John and I had to take the money that we had. And all the cash that we had, which we took the cash that we had to put it on our body. We had to anoint it. And then we had to find someone who is doing missionary work for orphanages and give it to them. So we started calling up because there were places that I knew, I can't send this over to Africa. It's not going to ever make it. I can't send this cash because it had to be this cash. I said, God, you have to. So we started calling up Pushy.
Yeah. That's the mother, so-called mother of the church and the so-called father of the church, taking money and putting oil on it and then putting it on their bodies. Oh, okay. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
See, he said, if you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. As you see me as your father, I'll be your father for those of you that don't have a father. He said, if you see me as your Savior, I'll be your Savior. He said, even so, if you see me as your God, I'll be your God.
That is a clip from someone that was in the cult of Jim Jones. And Jim Jones was big on people calling him Father. Yeah, he was big on people calling him Father. And so remember, we have one Father, Father God. In heaven, we have our earthly father, and we don't need Jonathan Cain and Paula White calling themselves our mother and our father. But anyway, here's this is pitiful. You'll find this very pitiful, but this is a grown man, an associate pastor in Paula White's church, who says that Paula White is a divine mother.
I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3 verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God and the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing here means and is a reason sufficient to engage to the performance of the duty. For whatever is grateful and well-pleasing to God ought to be done with pleasure by us, from a principle of love to him, by faith in him, and with a view to his glory. And then such an action is acceptable in his sight through Christ Jesus our Lord, because he, God, is the one who ultimately arms Pastor Paula with authority for our development. You may be seated. What we have to understand here, as we are honoring Pastor, a spiritual parent is responsible to make decisions necessary for our development, whether we agree or not. I am so glad that the decisions that Pastor Paula makes is not based on my emotions, it is based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that gives her those decisions, because sometimes we don't agree all the time because our feelings and our emotions will try to make us want something prematurely or try to get something. But thank God we have a spiritual mother that knows when to activate, when to pull back, when to move us into certain seasons, when to withhold. Amen? Because ultimately it is for our development. Now, her primary focus is not just to be our friend, even though she is, but the primary focus for her to prepare us for our destinies and our God-given purposes. Because I've learned that our capacity as spiritual children is determined by the caliber of leader that she is. Amen? And so our ability or power to do, experience, or understand is based on the quality of her character and the level of her ability. So her process in life can save us time. Certain things that she goes through can save us time. Now, I understand that principle very well, just like it is for my son. Based on what she goes through, I may never have to go through that because she already paid that price. Amen? And so the spiritual world rules the physical world. Say, the spiritual world rules the physical world. Another way to put it is spiritual things are more important or takes precedence over natural things in terms of priority. Spiritual things influence natural things. That's so important because she is our spiritual mother, and she is incubating us, carrying us in the spirit world, and nurturing us, and ultimately will birth us into greatness. That is so important because the things and the principles of God that she is teaching us, if we can grasp hold of it and receive it, it will eventually influence our natural world. If we take...
What? That's bad. You know, that is really bad. I mean, that is a whole lot of brainwashing, let me tell you. That is a whole lot of brainwashing to get a grown man, a married man, to stand up there and to say that your pastor is incubating you. What? Let me play the first part of that again for you, just in case you didn't catch the part where he says she's divine.
I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings...
A parent that is divine. That's scary. That's scary right there. Yes, that is scary. But that's the days that we're living in. That's the days that we're living in. And that's why we need to be diligent to study the Word of God for ourselves and to make sure that we know what the Bible says. Because anybody could come, they can sound like they know the Bible, they can maybe be charismatic type of person, they can be... Act like they're spiritual, and they're deceivers. They're deceivers, and they suck these people in, and they promise them the world. They promise them that they're going to build these cities, and they're going to build hospitals, and they're going to build schools and universities, and blah blah blah, and. Meanwhile, every week they're begging for money to pay the bill. So it doesn't take much for people to be deceived. When if you look at some of these videos, especially of this cult leader who's now dead, over 900 people committed suicide. He made them drink Kool-Aid. That's why when you hear people say they're drinking the Kool-Aid, it refers back to the tragedy at Jonestown where Guyana, where over 900 people committed suicide because Jim Jones told them to do it. And they drank the cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. They gave it to their children. They gave it to their wives, their husbands, their mothers, their fathers. And they all killed themselves because of this man, because this is how he deceived them. He talked about Jesus, but yet he claimed to be God. And he said he was their redeemer. He was their savior. He was their father. He was their all in all. And that's basically when you hear that guy Duma talking about Paula, kind of similar in many ways, the way he refers to her, the way he seems to worship her. And instead of putting God first, because we have to hear from God for ourselves. Anybody could tell you anything, and you don't know, if you don't know God for yourself, you could be taken in. You could be taken in. This is, I'm going to play one last clip from the cult leader, Jim Jones, and then we'll close the program.
My, do you need to ask why they do that to me? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They shall revile you. They shall say all manner of things falsely against you. They shall do unto them everything that they wish to do, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. And if you're not getting persecution, you're not living godly. So I have my credentials. What about you? If you're not getting persecution, you ought to ask why. Because when you live for truth, you'll be persecuted. And if you're not getting persecuted, you're not living the just life. You're not in the body of Christ, the body of this revolution. Be sure to teach people how to live, to get their head out of the sand or out of the sky. He said, don't pray to go to heaven. And even Paul said, don't look up to go to heaven. He said, the righteous faith saith on this wise, the word, heaven, God, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Don't say who will go up to heaven and bring him down, or who shall go into the deep and bring him up from the grave. But what saith it? The word is within thee. Heaven is on earth. That's the only heaven you'll find. God is here. That's the only God you'll know. All of you are gods. He said, I'm no different than you. Everybody's a god. So Jesus is God, I am God, you are God. I will, but all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot bring me down until the time has come. Listen, all ye scoffers and poisoners, we're feeling good in the house of Jones today.
Caused or tried to harm this church, I would kill the president or stake my life upon this church or to protect the pastor.
Violent revolutionary, and I kill 3 children.
Your name?
Corrine Jackson. I would kill any government official that would stand in the way of our church progress.
Your name?
That's how they wound up. You see them, that they had such loyalty for this man that they sold, most of these people sold everything they had. This church was based in San Francisco at one point. And they sold almost everything they had to follow this man to wind up committing suicide. But let it be a sobering word to you today to stay in the Word of God, to know Jesus for yourself, and to be not, don't be led astray by these Pied Pipers of false, that preach a false gospel. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. He said that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Ask Jesus to forgive you today. You'll never regret your decision. He's got a brand new life for you, a life of peace, a life with joy. Nobody else can give you peace except the Prince of Peace. Nobody else can give you joy except Jesus, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. God bless you today. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city. city, it lies foursquare. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.